What phrase is repeated in the Psalm and the Old Testament and the New Testament readings? That phrase of the ends of the earth. These are three of the most prominent places that this is used in that total mission explanation of what God is doing. That it's not just for the kingdom of Israel, but it's for all the peoples, even to the ends of the earth. It's a total mission. It's complete. There's not any place that's going to be left off. And ends of the earth is a really powerful missions phrase because it can shift over time. If you look at some of what has happened in the expansion of the church from even the early apostles, it was just after our gospel reading today in Matthew 9 that Jesus sent out the disciples the first time two by two. And he specifically told them in Matthew chapter 10, go out, but don't go to the Gentiles. Just stick with the people of Israel and let them know that the kingdom of heaven has come. And he gave them specific instructions and told them how to do that. But eventually, even the 11 disciples, with the exception of Judas, went out all over the world. Simon Peter, as we know, was martyred in Rome. Andrew, the church tradition says that he went to Greece, Thrace, and Scythia. James, the son of Zebedee, was the very, very first to be martyred for his faith. John, the son of Zebedee, went to Asia Minor, in Ephesus in particular. Bartholomew was in Armenia. Philip was in Asia Minor. Thomas in India. I've been to where they believe it. You know, there's church tradition around possibly even his bones being in a church in Kerala. I've gone and seen that. Matthew in Ethiopia and Persia. James, the son of Alphaeus, in Syria and possibly Egypt. Thaddeus in Mesopotamia. And Simon the Zealot in Persia and North Africa. They were all sent out all over. So that the gospel reading that we heard and the reading from Acts that says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and all of Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. His disciples took that to heart and they went out to what at the time was the ends of the earth. Paul, as he went out and he had his mission vision, what was it that he was always saying, I'm going to press on further. Even whenever he went to Rome, he had the vision and the hope that he was going to continue to push west all the way to Spain, which was the end of the earth. It was way out there. Most of Europe was almost unknown. In the early 500s, you have the little island over to the very west of Europe, England and Ireland, where Patrick was witness. He went as a missionary after being made captive, and then he was released, and then he went back willingly with other people and was the apostle to the Irish. They were dangerous people. They were the kind of people that would take people slave and carry them off and work them to death and then go get some more. And Patrick went back there. But then it was Irish missionaries about 100 years later that then went to be the very first people to this incredibly barbaric group of people called the Scots. Right? And it was Columba is one of the most famous missionaries that went there. And he was an Irish missionary that went to the Scots. And then from the Scots, it was about 100 years later that someone was sent from Rome to go and work with these so dangerous, so bad that when they were sent off, they got there and they kind of had their first interactions and almost they wanted to go back. And Pope Gregory had to tell them, no, stay there. This is important. Someone needs to tell the good news to the Angles and the Saxons. Well, as it turns out, there was already a healthy Celtic church there, but Augustine of Canterbury went there and was active in bringing some of these other groups that the Celts were not interacting with because they killed each other a lot, and so that these other new people groups were brought to faith for the first time, or at least in new ways. And the gospel continued to spread from people to people and nation to nation, ends of the earth to ends of the earth. And as we know, in modern missions, most of modern missions sprang from the little island of England and went all over the world, went to Africa and Asia and pressed into the inland of the interior of Africa, past the ports, pressed into the interior of China with people like Hudson Taylor, at great risk and great challenge and tremendous faith, pressed into the new frontiers, the new ends of the earth. And tragically, we know that a lot of the places that even the first apostles went and where the gospel took strong hold, the gospel is not strong there now. They are now, some of the places in the Near East and the Middle East are some of the most unreached places with people groups there that have sprung up within Islam and have been impacted by communism and other things, so that there's geographic barriers, cultural barriers, political barriers, barriers of poverty and economics, so that there are whole cultures, thousands of them, where there is no gospel presence at all. You've heard me talk about before unreached people groups, and that idea is one that's been promoted in the last 50 or so years strongly within the church. The idea of whole cultures, so language groups and cultural groups that see themselves as being unique in the world, and they are, many times have a completely different language. And within that people group, there's no church at all, or the technical definition is less than 2%. And that's about how many of those people groups would you think there are? It's about 7,000 of those people groups that have less than 2% Christian. Now, within that larger group of unreached people group, there's the frontier people group. One of the ways that we can conceptualize the ends of the earth today are the frontier people groups. And those are people groups where there is less than 0.1% Christian. Virtually no Christians at all. And many times, whenever there are Christians, it's not like all of them are in one place and they're worshiping together. They're spread out so that people in that people group will go their entire life and never meet a Christian. So by definition, these frontier people groups will not have exposure to a Christian, to a follower of Christ, without something crossing over a cultural barrier. Now, do they speak other languages? Maybe they all speak Arabic and not just their heart language, or they speak French and not just their heart language. They might speak Russian and not their heart language, so that they might have access in a kind of broad way so they could potentially maybe get on the internet and find news about Jesus. They've often been given so much misinformation about Christ that the barriers are tremendous. In Scripture, when we see that people are moved by the Spirit, we see the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading Scripture. He's at that point, he's even seeking out and he wants to know. And God sent him Philip to help him to interpret it. So even in those miraculous cases where God is moving, he sends a Philip, or he has a Peter have a dream about all the things being made clean so that they're no longer unclean, and has him have it three times just to make sure he really gets it, and then sends him so that he can interact with the people who have been, that they want to follow Jesus. They want to know the truth, but someone had to be sent. So three times today, we have the ends of the earth as the full extent of what God is going to do. There will be no place left untouched. There will be no people that will not be represented in praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People from every tongue and tribe and nation will be there giving him praise. That is the joyful reality that we as the church participate in as we live our lives in Christ. Now for the gospel reading. Matthew 9 is a passage that I memorized years ago and I spent a lot of time in, and it's beautiful. Something hit me this week that I had not seen exactly this way before. I'll read it one more time for us. Jesus went through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." It's a lot of powerful action happening in this passage. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. Jesus is walking around in these places where people are sick. He touched people with leprosy and made them whole. He took people that were blind from birth and gave them sight. People that were captive by all kinds of afflictions and demon possession, throwing themselves into flames, breaking chains, and he made them whole. He was teaching in their synagogues. They often didn't like what he taught. It wasn't uncommon for him to teach in the synagogues and then for him to not be so welcome there anymore. It was also very common for them to follow him wherever he went after that, and to follow him around and bring people from the whole surrounding countryside so that they could be healed. He was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He was letting them know that God's fulfillment is here. I am here. These are things that we can see as actions that Christ did that we might try to emulate. There are organizations out there. We live in a community where Samaritan's Purse is headquartered. And they're going around the world and they're fixing real hurts, or at least helping people to get back up on their feet so that they can meet their own needs again. The Samaritan's Purse does heart surgeries, and they do disaster relief, and they set up hospitals after major catastrophes. We, as God's people, it's one of the things we do, is we heal and we bind up the brokenhearted. We are people that have our eyes and ears open to the suffering in the world because, like Christ, we're there to proclaim the kingdom. We're there to live it out. With all these wonderful verbs, all these wonderful actions of teaching and proclaiming and healing, even having compassion on the people, these are not things that the disciples at that time were directly told to do. There's one thing that they're told to do very directly. And what is it that Jesus tells them to do? Pray. Pray earnestly. And Jesus gives them an example of what the posture is in their prayers. Because whenever he saw the people, you know what, he looked at him and he said, so bad. No. He was moved with compassion, deep compassion for the people, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep. I've not been around a lot of sheep, but I have been around a lot of goats. And you can correct me after the sermon that I think sheep are probably less smart than goats, which is not a very high bar. Goats, if you walk up and they don't know you and they smell you, they get harassed and they're completely helpless. Physically, they could run off. Physically, they could probably even put up a pretty good fight. But in their minds and their hearts and the way that they're built, they're pathetic. You walk up and they start screaming and I don't know. And should I follow you or should I run? And I'm not sure. It's a pitiful thing to see. I've had goats follow me for miles and then I turn and try and talk and they run off. They don't know what they're doing or where they're going. They would walk off with something that wanted to kill them. And I think sheep are worse. And that's what Jesus saw. He saw human beings that were so without a shepherd, so without a direction in their life, so without hope, so without preservation and protection and promise. They were helpless, easily harassed. They were terrified. And when they were terrified, we mentioned some of the things that Jesus would do when he went around. One of the times that sticks out to me is whenever he cast out demons and they went into the pigs and the pigs died. And then the people were so blown away by this. They said, leave, go away. Don't be around us. We do not want you here. We don't know what to do with you. We don't know how to process this. Are things really any different now? The world around us is harassed and helpless, afraid, angry. But we are people of the kingdom. We are people of the promise. Let the nations be glad. Let the nations be glad. Because he guides the nations with equity. Let the people rejoice. Let all the peoples, not just some of them, let all the peoples rejoice. Because he guides the nations. He will be their shepherd. He will be their protector. He will be their promise. He will be their future. He will be their present. So Jesus says to his disciples, pray earnestly, not casually, not when you think of it, with compassion in your heart, pray earnestly from your toes. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to his harvest. Whose harvest is it? It is his harvest. It is his work. And he will send out laborers to his harvest. And mystery, I don't get it. I don't understand why, but he wants us to be involved in it. That's part of being adopted into the family, is you get to be part of the family. You get to be part of what the Father is doing. You get to see him at work, and he says, come on over here and be part of this. You get to be part of what I'm doing. So pray earnestly. Come on and be part. Prayer is the center of mission. It is the foundation of mission. It is the beginning of mission. We already heard that all of these disciples were sent out. They were given hard things to do, and they were obedient. But it started with Jesus saying, pray earnestly. Come before the Father on behalf of what you see and ask him to send people out. And you better believe he's going to change your heart and he's going to make you, as part of his family, part of his work. For Epiphany, we have been praying a little bit differently than we do during ordinary time and some of the other times of the year. I think I've said at least a couple of times that these prayers for the growth of God's kingdom, for the Holy Church to make disciples of all nations, that we would all discern our vocation to the spread of the gospel at all times and all places. There would be an increase in evangelism, ministries of mercy. So many of these things, they're so big. And if you think about how many mercy ministries are needed and how much brokenness is in the world, it can be overwhelming. But that's why we talk to God about it. That's why we pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest, because it's not our harvest, it's His. And He is God. He is Lord of all. So we bring it to Him, and then He transforms us and makes us part of it. One last thing, only maybe a little bit of a tangent, but I think that it's worth looking at. The confession prayer. Saw this a few months ago and whispered it to Chris afterwards, and I've been wanting to share it with all of you ever since. The prayer for confession that begins, "Most Merciful God," and we pray it every Sunday. And I noticed one Sunday while I was praying it, I circled the word "loved" right in the middle. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. It's physically right in the middle of the prayer. And I thought that is so fitting, because it's out of our distorted loves that we do the things that we ought not do, and we don't do the things that we know that we ought to do. And it's out of our misplaced loves that we, again, week after week, come back and say, "Whoa, that's not the way that week was supposed to go." Our love is misplaced because I think a lot of times we don't let God love us the way that He does. We don't really believe that He has our best interests in mind. We don't really see how much He says, "Come to me." Are you tired? Are you anxious? Bring everything to me. And then I will calm your heart and your mind. Not sure about the way things are going in the world? Talk to me about it a lot. Not sure how your life is going? Bring it to the Lord. There is nothing too big for Him. So on this World Mission Sunday, let's commit again to loving the Lord with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and praying earnestly with compassion to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to His harvest, knowing that that love that compels us may push us out into new frontiers, and for some of us, even to the ends of the earth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.